That's never happened to me. I've never laughed in the Spirit. I've never been slain in the Spirit. I've never been drunk in the Spirit. But I do love Jesus. Okay. Amen. But I do know there's some things in the Spirit that we don't always understand. And there's been times in my lives when I prayed for people. I went to a church, a shofar church, and it was just weird. In that season, whenever I would lay hands on somebody, they would, their knees would buckle and they would go and sit down or fall over or something. You know, but it doesn't happen in general. But there's sometimes that does happen. And that's not necessarily of the devil. I didn't push anybody. I just sort of put my hand on their forehead and I was praying for them. And these big guys, I mean big, I remember this one guy's big, suddenly his knees just buckled and he just went to sit down under the power of God. You know, so these things happen and we need to be open-minded in terms of the manifestations of the Spirit, but we shouldn't seek the manifestations of the Spirit. That's the challenging bit. Because I remember I was tempted, because this really looks good. If you pray for people and they just go and fall under the power of the Spirit. And I realized that I was tempted after that. Every time I prayed for people, I was seeking them to fall under the power of the Spirit. And that's wrong. We shouldn't seek it. We should seek Christ and His will. And so Reinhard Bonnke tells a story when he was a missionary in Lesotho, and he often preached for 5 people, and then nobody wanted to get saved. And then he tells a story of when one of his meetings, there was over 1 million people that committed their lives to God. There were 1.7 million people in the meeting. 1 million people made commitments to Christ in Nigeria. It was huge. But he received a prophecy in the beginning 80s. From 3 different people that said that one day in one meeting, 1 million people will come to Christ. 20 years later, it was fulfilled. And in the middle, beginning 80s, he said, that's impossible. I mean, we only have about 100,000 people in a meeting, max. And so again, that's also a directive prophecy guiding him. But he says when the Lord spoke to him to go and organize a rugby stadium or a stadium in Botswana. And he says the first day of meetings, there was only 100 people from the local church in a 10,000-seater stadium. 100 people. God pitched, people got healed amazingly. Next day, 10,000 people in the place because of the miracles that happened. And he says, then God spoke to him and said to him, pray for the people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, no, Lord. I mean, that's stuff that you do behind the scenes. You didn't do it like in big meetings. And so he obeyed and he prayed for them. He didn't teach about it. He just prayed for them. Lord, baptize them in your Holy Spirit. And he says God opened his eyes and he saw in the Spirit a wave coming from the side, but as high as the stadium coming. And he says when the wave hit the people, they fell under the power of the Spirit. Nobody pushed. Nobody did anything. They just... hundreds and hundreds of people fell under the power of God. And so for the next 15 years or so, that was a normal thing of his meetings. When he prays for the baptism of the Spirit, people would fall down, but like thousands of people would just fall. I mean, you can't coerce people to do that. And he said, but after a while, he was worried about the people because he said, Lord, they're like laying like stacks on one another. It's like thousands and thousands of people falling under the power of the Spirit. And so he said, he prayed and said, God, I want you to baptize them in the Spirit, but could you please keep them standing? And he says, from that day onwards, nobody fell. They got baptized with the Spirit. The fire of God fell, but they didn't fall. And so that was just amazing because that reveals his heart. He wasn't after the manifestation. He was after the infilling of the Spirit. And so we are not after the manifestation. We are after Christ. We are after the fullness of the Spirit. And we need to make that clear. Our eyes are on Christ and His will. And if God wants to do something that is out of the ordinary, we are open to that. But we're not necessarily pursuing that. Okay. Does that make sense as well? Because I'm not trying to say, okay, guys, it's not time to fall and laugh in the Spirit. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we want Christ and we want the fullness of the Spirit. Okay, Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to pray for us, and then Sonika's going to take it further. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can talk about these topics, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you have so much that you want to share with us, so much that you want to impart to us, Lord. And God, we just say that our eyes are upon Christ and his will. Lord Jesus, have your way. God, energize us, stir us, awaken us. And thank you, Lord, that you will speak through Sonika now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
I mean, I hope you're all awake. I hope you had a better night than I had. The devil first stole my sleep. Can you believe it? And then my boy decided now it's time to wake up. 2:30, it was Vian's turn to wake me up. But in any case, praise God. So please pray for me. So if I look tired, I am tired. Okay. It's not your spiritual discernment now kicking in. I am tired. You know what? I'm gonna do a very practical session with you, focusing on prophecy specifically, and how do we discern when it's from God and when not. But I just want to say, even though the majority of my session, things that I will say will maybe be more kind of a warning, will be more, you know, beware, be careful. But I just want to start by saying, you know, as where I ended off, when Kuba asked that question, whether prophecy is primarily for the church. You know, I just know from working, my life is very different now, working with Andre, but I worked for 11 years at PwC, auditing, accounting, consulting firm. And I just knew that I need God, and I need these things, you know, called the gifts of the Holy Spirit in my workplace. And I must be honest, I mean, I didn't often flow in that, but there were times, you know, when God really gave me opportunities to pray for somebody in my office or to speak to somebody, and, you know, God just gave me a word for that person. You know, and I just know that we need to, this is something we need to desire, not only in the church or in a church meeting, but also in our workplace. I mean, I've spoken to Hanley in the past. She's a dietitian, and, you know, she recognized many people coming to her with, you know, wanting to work on their diet, and then she just knows there's a deeper problem, there's a deeper root, you know, and in her situation, or, well, whatever you do, a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy can change someone's life forever, you know, and it's not somebody that's going to come to church with you if you invite him or her, necessarily. It's not somebody that's open to hear Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you on the cross and the whole gospel message. But it's somebody that's very open to respond if you tell them something that nobody knows. And then they know that God is real. So this is why we're talking about these things, because we need God. We need God wherever we go, in our workplace and in the church, and in our families, we need God. So I just want to encourage you. I want to take you to a scripture in Isaiah 50 verse 4. It says, the Lord God has given me. It's a reference to Jesus, but it's also applicable to us today. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. And I mean, all of you can testify. We meet on a daily basis, people, especially in our workplace, people who are weary. You know, they just want to give up. They wear masks. I mean, we are all brilliant in wearing our masks and it's all going well. But, you know, just speak for more than 2 minutes or more than 5 minutes to a person. And really, you know, give them your undivided attention and things come out. And you realize they are weary. So the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. And that is the secret. That is the secret. This is, in a sense, what the message we want to bring across. Our ears need to be awakened. so that we can hear God's voice. And whatever, as I said, the best gift is the one that is going to work now in this situation. And we need to hear God's voice so that we can determine, should I pray for healing now? Should I pray for somebody for healing? Should I just tune in, God? Do you want to speak to me? You know, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? And we need to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit. And this is why I preached on just baptism in the Holy Spirit on Sunday evening as well. Because in my life, that's where it all started. That's where it all started by actively praying in the Spirit. A word of prophecy can change your life forever or somebody else's life. And I don't know, maybe you have never had a word from God, or maybe you have, but it's still, you know, you're not certain, was it actually from God, or you kind of put it on the shelf, and I'm going to talk about that. But maybe you think you never had a word from God, but for those of you who had something, I'm sure you can all testify that it changed something, or it gave you direction. So we must desire to prophesy. I want to take you to a scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. And the Greek word for desire is, it means to be zealous for, to burn with desire, to pursue passionately, to desire eagerly or intensely. So it's not, oh, you know, God, if you want to give it to me, maybe someday, I'm not sure. You know, this is not desire. Desire is, God, I want it. I want it. I passionately desire this something. I mean, I don't exactly know what it is, but I passionately desire something that is going to be a word in season to somebody who is weary. So I want to encourage you that we must all come to that place where we say, God, we want it. And if we are not there, God is not, you know, it's like a gift. I'm going to repeat something now I said on Sunday evening, but if somebody wants to give you a gift and you don't want it, I mean, you can't receive it, you can't use it, you can't do anything with it. But if somebody wants to give you a gift and you receive it with all of your heart, you say, I want it, I passionately desire that. That is when, you know, when we can tap into that something that God has for us. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. I'm just going to show you one or two things. Everyone can prophesy. And Andre and I specifically went to the Greek word, that word prophesy. It's the same Greek word that is used in 1 Corinthians 12, where prophecy is listed as one of the nine gifts. Okay, because some people can feel, now that prophecy refers to maybe the preaching of the word. And I wanted to see it for myself. So we went to the Greek word, and that word for prophecy there, or prophesy, is exactly the same as in 1 Corinthians 12 that speaks about the gift of prophecy. Okay, just something interesting, but the Apostle Paul says, for you can all prophesy one by one. So I just want to encourage you, if you still feel it's just only for some people, and like Andre said, the gift of a prophet, one of the fivefold ministry, is not for everyone. Okay, the gift of the apostle, teacher, prophet, those five things, it's not for everybody. And as he also said, it's actually, if people walk around saying, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet, there's already a question mark, you know, on that person's ministry. Not necessarily the accuracy of what they do, but the intention of their hearts. Okay, and I'll come to that. But all of us can prophesy. All of us are not a prophet flowing in or operating in the office of a prophet, but all of us can prophesy. But now I want to take you to a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5. So even though the Bible says we should desire spiritual gifts, especially that we may prophesy, it also says we should test all things. So I want to take you to a very interesting scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, that says, do not quench the Spirit and do not despise prophecies. But the next sentence, test all things, hold fast to what is good. Do not quench the spirit and do not despise prophecies, but test all things. And this is what I want to talk to you about in my session. Because I know often, you know, you get the kind of words that says Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life and you are special to him. Those kind of words are relatively safe. Not relatively, it is safe because it's the truth. It's according to the Bible. But now you get words like, you're going to meet your husband in the next 3 months and he's going to be at a braai and he's going to wear a white t-shirt and you will never have to work again because he's just going to have lots of money. Okay. You're laughing now, eh? But I'm going to show you. That sounds like a good one to me. But now you can't test it. You can't go back to the Word of God because there's nothing like that in the written Word of God. So I wanna talk to you. What do you do when you receive a word of prophecy? What do you do when somebody comes, especially, you know, when you go to a conference or some other church and there's a person operating in the under the anointing and in the gift of prophecy? That's what they do. And I, at high school, one of the first prophecies I received was when I was in matric. And that, I was late for the meeting. It wasn't my church. We just visited the church in my hometown. I sat right at the back. I was late because we still what we did on Sunday evenings. We went to our own church to just keep the peace in our home and then ran to the other one afterwards. The one started at 6 and the one at 7, so we were always like a little bit late for the one we really wanted to attend. But in any case, so I was late, and there was a man that evening there who operated in this gift, and he started just, you know, prophesying over people. And he said to me, "What is your name?" And I was sitting right at the back. And he said, "What are you doing there at the back? You must be here in the front." So I thought, what? So, well, I started walking to the front. I didn't understand what he was talking about. So he said, no, you can sit down. But what I mean is, you should be here in the front part of the worship team. And he basically just said to me, "Sonika," well, I can't remember if he asked my name, but he said, "You must heilige musiek begin maak. Heilige musiek. Gooi weg al die ander musiek. You must heilige musiek begin maak." And he said, "Are you married?" "No, I'm not married." He said, "But your husband," it was very funny, he said, "the man that you're going to marry must better get his marbles together." It was funny. But in any case, that was not his marbles. Andres got all his marbles together, don't worry. He was unsaved, but he basically, in a sense, prophesied into Andre's life as well. Because he said, "The man that you marry must," it was his way of saying, you know, there must things, the man that you're going to marry is not necessarily at this specific point at the right place for you to get married to him. But that was one of my first encounters, and that specific word blessed me so much because I was doing classical music at that time, but all I wanted to do was actually worshiping God. But I wasn't exposed to that except with, you know, SCA playing the piano. And I wasn't exposed to the kind of worship music we do in Shofar or in other churches. But for me, it was just so exactly what was in my heart. And I had peace about it. But let me take you to three different things. That was one of my first encounters with a prophetic gifting. The first and foremost thing, when you get a word from God, you test it with a written word of God. First and foremost. Okay? You can't receive a word that tells you that man is your husband, but he's actually married. Okay, now you're waiting for his wife to die. And that also sounds very funny, but one we personally know somebody in our group of churches years ago received a word like that. And she was deceived for many, many years because she received this word that she's going to marry this man and everything just looked perfectly, but he was married. So she honestly thought his wife is going to die and she's going to get married to him. You see, this is the danger of a prophetic word, okay, that can seem very right. So God's never going to prophesy something against his word. Okay, he's not going to tell you that man is your husband, but he's actually married. He's not going to tell you that you can start dating or courting or get married or get engaged to somebody who does not serve Jesus. Because the Bible is very clear that we can't be unequally yoked. And I'm not just going to give you one or two examples, but these things I know people get easily, very easily into deception, because when it comes to relationships, unfortunately, this is one area where the devil can very easily deceive us. And I'll give you more examples of that later. But we always take it back to the written word of God, always. When it comes to money as well, you go back to what the word of God says, if you have a specific word about money. So that is why we need to know the word of God. We need to know the written word of God. You'll never receive a prophecy against the written word of God. Then the second one that's very important is the peace. The peace of God. Now, sometimes we do not even understand or know the peace of God ourselves. So this one is a little bit abstract. But I want to take you to a scripture in Colossians 3:15 in the Amplified. You see, the peace of God, it's like an umpire, you know, or a referee, or anyone who blows a whistle and say, stop, 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 stop. Okay? There's no penalty, or there's no, the game can't go on. We need to stop right here and something must happen. Now that is the purpose of the peace of God in this context. Okay. So the moment you lose your peace, when you receive a word of prophecy or you do not experience the peace of God, it's literally like a referee or an umpire blowing his whistle, say, stop, stop, stop. Okay, do you all follow? So that is what's also important, to know the peace of God, or like Andre explained it, to know the presence of God, because it's very much the same thing. Either the presence or the peace of God, we need to know that place in our heart where... Let me show you this scripture. It explains it beautifully. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes. There's something in your soul that's just harmony. No conflict, no storm, there's peace. And let the peace from Christ rule, act as umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. So we need to know the peace and the presence of God. We need to know that. And sometimes it's really just an uncomfortable feeling. Okay. And we need to learn to respond to this check in our hearts. It's just something you just feel a little bit uncomfortable. You can't put your finger in it. I mean, Andrew and I often, you know, I will tell him, listen, I feel uncomfortable about this. And he actually learned, or both of us learned, to trust this uncomfortable feeling in our hearts. But he definitely learned to trust this uncomfortable feeling in me, because I can't always give him a logical 10-point reason why I don't have peace. But something bugs me about something. And what is amazing in our relationship at the moment is I can just tell him, listen, I feel uncomfortable. And then he immediately will just listen to that and say, okay, we wait, we pray again, or we stop right here and we check with God again. All right. So the peace of God, very important, the written word of God and the peace of God. And then something that people often say, that a prophecy is confirmation what is in your heart. How many of you have heard that in the past? Okay. It's confirmation of what is already in your heart. Then you know that it is from the Lord. Now, yes and no. Yes and no, depending on what is in your heart. Okay. So it's not necessarily a word from the Lord. And this is I want to take you to a quite scary scripture. Two, actually. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that says, the heart is deceitful. You know, all of us always tend to think, oh, but I'm a good person. Hey, I don't murder and steal and I don't do those things. I'm good. But the Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So our inherent, the inherent, you know, tendency of our heart is actually not to be good and not to necessarily do God's will. We need to speak to our soul. We need to direct our spirit. We need to lead. We need to lead our soul and our spirit by proclaiming and doing that which we know God wants for us to do, and then they must follow. Okay. So it's not necessarily that if you get a word, if you're in love. Okay, let's go back to relationships. You're in love with that person, and now you receive a word from somebody that, yes, she is your wife. And you get another confirmation, and you say, God, if she's going to phone me 3 times today, Lord, then I know. And then she phones you 3 times. You know, and it's all these stacks of confirmations you get. And now you're confused because it really seems as if this girl is your wife. Okay, so what now? What now? You have confirmations, you have a prophecy from somebody. What do you do? Let me take you to a scripture in Ezekiel, and then I'm going to tell you a quite scary story of something that happened in a church in America. But let's go to Ezekiel first, Ezekiel 14, verse 3 and 4. Son of man, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? So it's God speaking. He say, there are idols in their hearts. Should I actually allow them to inquire of me? And should I answer them? He's now talking. I have this conversation with Ezekiel. Now God says, therefore speak to them. This is God saying to Ezekiel, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, everyone in the house of Israel who sets up idols in their hearts and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. Is that scary or not? Do you understand what that scripture says? Not. If you have an idol in your heart, let's come back to the relationship example, okay, because that's the easiest one. You want to marry that girl. You want to marry her. You didn't consult the Lord. You're not open that maybe she's not your wife. You're not open. You have set your heart and your mind on her. You've made up your mind that she's your wife. That's an idol. Okay. You're not open. This is in the case where you're not teachable. You're not open for anybody to maybe just say, maybe she's not your wife. You're not open to ask God even because, maybe God has other plans for me and I want her. I am going to get married to her. She's my wife. That is an idol. Okay, do you all agree with me? Or anything, that job. I want that job. And whether it's part of God's plans for me or not, I want that job. I'll do anything to get it. And what happens now, there's an idol in your heart. You're not open to even ask God's opinion about it. And if you're open to ask God's opinion, you're not willing to listen. Then what the Bible says is the Lord will answer you according to the idols of your heart. So what happens is you will get confirmation, most probably. You will, and I can tell you many, many stories. Not even what I read in this book. Many stories. Many, many stories. I mean, we, Andre and I, come from Shafer Stellenbosch. There were so many situations where guys would come to girls and say, God said you're my wife. Many, many. God said. God has spoken. You're my wife. And then it was not of God. It was not of God. So this is now the scary bit, you know. I'm going to come to the better parts now, so don't just hold on to your seats. But I want you to know that if we are just going to, you know, desire anything, and we're not open to hear from accountable or trustworthy people and sources that maybe you are wrong, if you're not willing to lay it down, if you're not willing to say, God, maybe she's not my wife, but God, if she is, show me. If you can't come to that point, it's probably an idol, and then you might receive lots of confirmation and honestly believe it's God and be sincerely deceived. You know? Baie opreg gaan jy heeltemal deceive is. Okay. I want to read to you a prophecy that somebody received in this church, and that'll just confirm what I say. It's a couple. They had a desire to work for an evangelist. A couple, a man and his wife, they wanted to work for an internationally known evangelist on the East Coast. That was what they wanted to do. And it sounds very noble. You want to just go and work with evangelist somewhere. Okay, sounds very noble. So what happened, a prophet came to the congregation. He picked up the couple. He said, say for example, like Michael and Diana, I said, okay, please stand for the couple. Please stand up. And now I want to read you what he said. Thus says the Lord, I've called you to the ministry of healing, and I'm going to remove you from this fellowship and send you to the East Coast. There you will serve and be mentored by this, and he specifically mentioned the evangelist's name, so it's as accurate as can come, okay, according to what's in their hearts. He will pour himself into you, and it is there that I will equip you for the healing ministry and bring his mantle upon you. Then after a season, he will launch you, and I will bring you back to this part of the country where you will establish a powerful healing ministry. I mean, it doesn't really sound wrong, hey? It sounds fantastic. It sounds wonderful. Okay, now this is what I want you to do. Actually notice that this sounds good. They started weeping. They were overjoyed. The whole congregation thought, wow, isn't God good? He's speaking to them. He's confirming their heart's desire. Now, the pastor of the church, he said basically everybody was overjoyed except him and his wife. They just, somehow they knew something isn't right. Okay? For two reasons. The one was, they had several meetings with a couple where they had serious marital problems. Serious problems in their marriage. And they knew them well. So they knew that the ministry for them wasn't really about the people. It was for them all about the spotlight and the glamour, and you know what I mean? It wasn't for them. They had this desire in their hearts, but not according to what God wanted them to do, but for their own personal gain and selfish desire. Okay. And unfortunately, these kind of things you can't notice from the outside. But the pastor and his wife were very worried about that word because they knew something isn't right. Now, that is where the peace of God comes in. And this is also where leadership comes in, where you need to, these kind of words, you need to trust that the leadership must also be in peace, you know, with these kind of words. Because God, the prophet said, God's going to remove you from this ministry and use you somewhere else. Now, the end result was, the husband quit his job. What basically happened, they resigned, they went to the East Coast, they said to the evangelist, here we are, we are here to serve you. And they didn't get offered any position with him. They were just there, now what now? They came back, eventually lost everything. That is, they lost their house, they lost everything, because financially they put everything into this dream and into this word. And at a later stage, they even divorced. Now, if that is God, then this is not the God I know or I serve. You see, so what happened? They had this strong desire to work with this man, this evangelist. But the intentions of their hearts were not right. Okay? And by that, I don't say my intentions sometimes are not right. Your intentions are not right. Okay, so this is not now, you know, that we need to live in fear, and if we now have like 1% intention of our hearts, it's not right, something is going to go seriously wrong. I'm talking about, are we teachable? Are we willing? Are we open for correction? Are we open for leaders and for the peace of God and for God even to speak to us? And then it's a safe place. It's really a safe place. But if we have an idol, and this thing is so important to us, even more important than God, this is what we are going to do, and we want to do it with all of our hearts. And it sounds so noble. It sounds so good. What the fruit in the end could be very, very bad, unfortunately. So, I mean, we need to admit that word was obviously not of the Lord. He said, God's going to, all those things that I said, it didn't happen. They did not become part of his ministry. They did not come back and start a powerful healing ministry. It did not happen. So then you need to say to yourself, it can't be God. Okay. Are you all very scared now? It's good. I want you. I just realized, you know, we need the fear of the Lord. Yes. Now, it's a very good question, and I wasn't necessarily planning to go into that because it's a whole you need to read this book, eh? You need to read this book. But the thing is, if you go back, the easiest answer, I'll give you a chance now, Dane. The easiest answer in Ezekiel is God will speak to a prophet and he will prophesy according to the idol. Okay? And it's basically the scripture. It's the scripture. It's exactly the scripture. So there's an idol in your heart. And now God is going to come and prophesy into that idol. Because it's in a sense, he cannot get through to you any other way. Okay, so it's an iniquity in your heart. And now he's using a prophet to come and prophesy according to that. So often, now we judge the prophetic ministry. We judge the prophet, eh? We say, how can you prophesy such an off word? Okay? But it all started with that thing in your own heart. And what happens then is both you who had that idol in your heart and the prophet who prophesied according to that idol need to repent, because there's two parties that led to this iniquity. There's lots more I can explain to you, but it's not God. That's it. Okay, give it to Andre.
I would say a part of it is, it is your test. It is your test. It happened with me some years ago. Johan was part of my escapades. And it's one of the weird things in life. I was still relatively new in the ministry, but the Lord spoke to me, or I felt God was speaking to me, to fast for a significant amount of time on water only. And during that time, I think it went to my head, pride, you know, ooh, fast so long. So that's one of the things I knew I wasn't proud. I was reading books about the prophetic and miracles happening and prophets, and I started to think I'm a prophet. And so what happened was, we had an outreach in Cape Town to plant the church off of Cape Town. And the fascinating thing was, I was sitting in my study And I felt I heard the voice of God telling me that there's an earthquake coming to Cape Town. I actually had dates as well. And you think alone, I think, okay, no, I'm going to, no, that's weird. I'm just going to, no, that can't be God. But something in the inside of me wanted to be a prophet, and prophets do this, you know. They prophesy earthquakes, dates, they get it right, and they get famous, okay. So he wouldn't say it, but I believe there was an idol in my heart. And so the word came. In my quiet time, I felt God is saying that this will happen. So then we had a meeting with our team of people, and I shared this at some stage. And then one of the intercessors in the church that same night told one of our team members she had a dream. In the dream, she saw Table Mountain and she saw rocks falling down. She saw the earth shake, things like that happening. It was a clear indication of an earthquake. Then one of our pastors' mother's mom, very prophetic, very intercessor lady, she saw in a dream the front page of the newspaper, Die Burger, saying so many thousand people die in earthquake at that same time. Then we went to other prophecies. I mean, there was confirmation upon confirmation upon confirmation of this thing. But my wife didn't have peace about it. And she was just working so hectically that she couldn't figure it out and she wasn't sure. And so we as a team were praying, and then it's amazing. Then somebody, we were doing research about Cape Town, and somebody found out that there are these mosques, little mosques, called kramats, placed all around Cape Town, on the high places, Saint Yevil, that on Robben Island. I mean, there are all these. It's like the high places of the Old Testament, above the gay bar area. Boom, there's a kramat, and then on, you know, this place and that place, but right around this thing. And we read about this, and it was said that these things, the Muslims believe this protects Cape Town from earthquakes or something like that. And so we felt God saying we need to go and pray at all those places. And I went, Johan, it was amazing. It was intense. That was freaking amazing. We were going, I mean, the supernatural that we experienced at that time was awesome. And so, but I was disobedient because I felt, I told Lord God, you must give us one more confirmation before we can run with this. But anyway, so I had the date and it was like 19 days or whatever. And we'd count. So every day we had a week long outreach. Every day we would go and we would proclaim so many days till judgment. We felt God saying that judgment will come upon Cape Town and it will actually lead people to Christ. That's what we believe. Anyway, so we were going from place to place. We were going into these kramats. I mean, this is like holy Muslim ground. We walked in there. We danced upon the graves of these guys. It's like dead people that they bury inside this little thingy. It's like so high. So we did very powerful prophetic actions at all these different places. It was amazing. But the day came. The day went. But the scary thing is I wouldn't listen to anybody. I wouldn't listen to correction from my leaders. I wouldn't listen to my wife. I have heard from God, and I had an idol in my heart. That was the biggest turning point of my whole life, spiritual life. For the first time in my life, I was open to say, truly, I make mistakes when it comes to hearing the voice of God. It changed my life. I wasn't allowed to preach for 3 months. I was checked out by the leadership because I proclaimed it in the city. I proclaimed open air preaching. Judgment is coming to Cape Town. I made a complete fool of us. But I learned how dangerous it is, the prophetic, when you have heard and you have your confirmations and you will listen to nobody. It's a nightmare. And that's why I had to learn that with this group of people, because I knew I would never be able to pastor a church because I would lead the whole church over the edge. Because that's how dangerous it is. The prophetic is an awesome, awesome blessing from God. We must have it. We need it. But if it's corrupted, it will do the worst destruction that you can imagine. And that's why we need the fear of God. We need accountability. I will never, ever do anything that I hear from God if my wife doesn't have peace about it. Because I'm human, I make mistakes. And the same way with this church, with the leadership group. If God tells me something but the leaders don't have peace about it, we're not doing it. We're not going there. Then I will pray until they receive peace in their hearts and confirmation in their hearts, because we can be deceived. So it's a test. I thank God for that. It was a nightmare, but I thank God for it changed me forever. Okay, does that make sense? Another question. Well, it's hard to explain. There's a passage in Scripture, sorry, Dion, where King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat, they were together. There were 300 prophets proclaiming to Ahab, go into war, God's going to bless you. And then the true prophet came and revealed that God was in heaven saying, I want to destroy Ahab. That's basically what it comes down to. He is bringing so much destruction to my kingdom and leading people astray. Who will go to lead him into deception? Who will lead him into... And then there was a demon saying, I'll go. Spirit of divination came and led him astray. And he died. So that's where the fear of God comes in. I think Dion will say it. Oh, sorry. Jammer, jou geleentheid. Salvation of his soul. Yeah. Michael. It's true. So in a sense, you're outside of God's protection, and then a spirit of divination will come. It's just you're outside of God's protection. That's, I guess, the best way of seeing it. But as well, it is for the salvation of the soul. It's to set you, as with me, it set me free from actually bringing destruction. I couldn't be trusted as a shepherd of God's flock because of my pride. Dion.
So what I basically just want to say is that we don't need to be fearful that if we want to operate in the prophetic, that somebody else's idol is basically going to cause us to bring destructive words. Because as we see in the story about Ahab and the prophets, there was a group of prophets, and they sort of represented by a large majority almost being professional prophets. And then there's the one guy, Micaiah, who also tells Ahab, no, God is going to give you the victory, go into battle. And then afterwards he says to Ahab, what I actually saw was this vision of heaven where God says, who will deceive Ahab to go into battle? And then a lying spirit said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. So they were these professional prophets, and they were the mouthpiece for that lying spirit. But there's always the Micaiah and the Elijah and Elisha that God actually shows the real picture to. And that there's a scripture in Amos chapter 3 as well, that God doesn't do anything in the earth without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And so I really think we can sort of allay those fears. A prophet's heart should just always be to be God's servant and not to be a professional.
Hand over again.
Okay. I'm actually gonna answer most of your questions. Eh? Dane, did you still wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was just saying
Yes, also a very good example. Thanks for that. Yeah. But if you still have questions, you know, this is a very, very good book. You read it, it reads easily. It explains many things. And what I share today is some things I got out of this book, and some things like, I mean, Andre's story, I was going to come to that as well, but it's just great that he told you all the detail, because I wasn't going to give you all the detail. Some things we've just learned the hard way. And with that specific story, you know, I blamed myself afterwards because it was really chaos. Some people got hurt. Some people got really hurt. And I said to myself, why on earth did I back off so easily? You know, I know it's this whole, you know, I need to honor my husband. And I wanted to honor him in this, even though I had this check in my heart. You know, this is exactly what I talked about. I couldn't argue against him. I trusted him. I trusted, you know, all the people who gave the confirmations. I was so confused myself, but somehow I said, Lord, something isn't right. And two things bothered me, you know. I said to Andre, we need to submit this to the local pastor. We were at Shafer Tigerberg at that stage. I said to him in a meeting, Andre, we have to take this thing to the pastor. And... but, you know, like quietly, it was in a meeting, so I couldn't really, like, you know, I couldn't op anderen. And he just said to me, no, we're not doing this. They're not going to understand. They're not going to understand, and they're not going to listen, and they're not going to know where we are at. So that bugged me. So this is where I also want to come to. You know, if you are not willing to submit something like this to leadership, that's the first dangerous sign. Okay, because it wasn't Andre going to proclaim there's going to be an earthquake. It was Shofar, you know, because we were a Shofar group. So you can't just do that without submitting it to leadership. So that really bothered me, because I felt, God, something's going to go wrong with this thing somewhere. And it did. But I praise God for that. And as I said, I blamed myself. But I'm so thankful I didn't, like, well, he wouldn't have listened to me in any case. I knew that. I know that now, but I thank God for that time. I thank Him for that, because it was minor damage compared to what can still happen, you know, if he didn't come to that point where he was willing to listen to me or to anybody around him. Not that I say I'm always right. I also make mistakes. But in a marriage relationship, I mean, the one time I wanted to give lots of money away, it's a whole different story, but I wanted to do something quite, you know, money I had saved for 3 years. I wanted to give it away. Not I wanted to give it away. I felt God said, Sonika, give it away. And I decided I'm going to share it with Andre, because he's just going to tell me, no nonsense. This is not of God. And he said to me, Sonika, this sounds like God to me. I thought, no. But in any case, there were lots of confirmation, but the two of us, he agreed that it was God speaking. Okay. So it can be either party in a marriage relationship, it can be your best friend, but I'm going to come to that now. All right. Just a few. What is a safety net when you prophesy? But I just want to tell you one or two more stories. What is the danger about a false prophecy? Until when is it okay? What is the danger of a false prophecy? So maybe you can say, okay, well, I received a false prophecy maybe sometime in my life. Is it really that bad? Is it really going to cause that much harm? Now, I'm going to do it quickly, but there's three stories I want to tell you also in John Bevere's book. The first one was his wife. Something had happened to his wife, and it brought a curse upon her life. It was in a meeting. And there was a guy also prophesying over everybody, and he didn't prophesy over his wife. And then afterwards, he said, could you please pray for my wife as well and see if there's a word from God? And then he had a word for her, and he said, which is also something that's not ideal. You don't go after the person has prophesied and know you also want a word. Or something, he has prophesied certain things over you, and now it didn't really make sense, so you go back after the meeting and say, can you please explain what you said? Very dangerous. Because now that person is not operating under the anointing anymore. Now he could start making things up, because he's under pressure now. Okay, so that's something to look out for. But in any case, that prophet spoke over his wife, said, you've just come out of a very, very difficult time in your life, and you struggle under pressure. You're not really handling pressure very well, and that will also be a sign for your husband if you feel under pressure too much, that he must just slow down a bit. That, in a nutshell, was the prophecy. And she said to him afterwards, what is that now? Because they've just come out of a period of time in their marriage, a wonderful, glorious time. It wasn't a hard time. So first of all, that wasn't correct. Then the second one that wasn't correct is she flourished under pressure. She actually did very well under pressure. But now this man telling her, you're not coping under pressure. Okay? But what basically happened after that day, the next day she found out she was pregnant, and she fell for the next 9 months. They went through a terrible time. She literally fell into a depression. It was like a cloud hanging over her head. And everything that that man said became true, even though it was never the truth before that time. She couldn't handle the pressure. She fell into depression. It was literally as if a curse was spoken over her. And 9 months later, there was another man ministering in the church, not a prophet. He was just speaking. This is what John Bevere also explains. You don't have to be a prophet having words for people all the time to be a prophet. You can just speak like John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of God is near. So I want you to keep in mind what Andre said, what is true prophetic ministry. But that man ministered in the church, and all of a sudden, all the lights went on. And she said to her husband afterwards, I believe that day when that prophecy was given to me, it was a curse. Or not necessarily a curse, but it became a curse upon my life. And we need to break it. We need to pray. And he prayed for her, and they just rejected those words. You see, because there's power in the spoken words. They rejected the words, and it all came back to normal. Okay, scary story. Another story. There was a prophet telling a guy, you're going to fly aeroplanes for Jesus. Okay, I'll just tell you the story. You're going to fly aeroplanes for Jesus, and you're going to basically work for God in this area. You're going to have lots of aeroplanes. But the problem is now, this guy, whenever he would fly, he would get terribly sick, airsick. But now he has this word from a prophet, you're going to fly aeroplanes for Jesus. So he used all his money he saved to go for lessons. And he came to a point, let me just read that to you. He came to a point where, he couldn't understand this whole thing because he hated flying. But it's this word from a prophet. He was terrified of flying but wanted to be obedient. And later, during his solo training, he cried out to God in the plane, said, Lord, I hate flying. And in his heart, he heard God answer, it's okay, I never told you to do it. I mean, that sounds funny now, but this poor guy, he wanted to be obedient. There's another story John Bevere tells about a couple, who got divorced. And, when he spoke to the man, he said, what happened? So the man said to him, when we were young, a prophet had us stand in a meeting and said, you guys are meant for each other, you must get married. And he never loved her. It was a girl. I don't know if they were dating at that time. They were dating. But he didn't really love her enough to get married to her. But he wanted to be obedient to God. This is so tragic. So you want the word comes, you believe it's from God because it's now this man or woman in a prophetic ministry who gives you the word. But it's our responsibility to check that. And I just want to give you one last example. What can also happen, it can bring lawlessness. It can bring lawlessness if you think you are a prophet, if you are what they call a self-appointed prophet. Like Andre said, he wanted to fly in the prophetic, he wanted to be a prophet. If you want to be that and you feel that you are a prophet. There was a man in also in John Bevere's church. Attended every prayer meeting, sitting in the front row at church, very active in the church. Everything looked amazing. But then they started noticing that whoever he gets involved with in the church, the people leave. The people just decide to leave the church. So the senior pastor told him, okay, he needs to deal with this issue. And he was young in the ministry, and he said, God, what is this? Because the fruit isn't good. Okay, this is in the end what we always need to check. What is the fruit? What is the fruit of a person who prophesies or is a self-appointed prophet? But in any case, they had a meeting with this man, and he wasn't really open. He like reluctantly agreed to the guidelines that they gave them, because John Bevere basically confronted him and said, God showed me that you're a self-appointed prophet. And he reluctantly agreed, and then he didn't really listen. He continued with his ministry, and like a week later, he was arrested by the police. And when he got out of jail, he kind of continued with his prophetic ministry just in smaller groups at his home. And then later, he also got divorced. So it's somebody who, in a sense, exalted himself into a position which God never intended for him. And the way also how God appoints prophets is through the local church in leadership, or through leadership of the local church. Okay. If one of you have a prophetic ministry, you will speak to Andre, and Andre will tell everybody that you're a prophet. You don't have to do it yourself. Okay, this is also the safe place. So what do you do when you receive a prophecy and it's not the real thing? Many people say you just put a prophecy on, or you don't understand it, or it doesn't make sense, like with Lisa Bevere. I mean, she couldn't figure it out. Many people say just put it on the shelf. Just put it there. Because if it's of God, then it will come to pass. And if you feel uncomfortable about it, and if you feel this thing is not of God, you don't put it on the shelf. You reject it. Just by a prayer. But you don't put it on the shelf and let it lie there and let it come to pass if it's not of God. Okay, does it all make sense to you? I just want to run through a few things, just a safety net. When you receive a word like Andre did that there's going to be an earthquake, or when you give a prophecy. First of all, Andre mentioned that, but do not try to please the person you're prophesying to. Do not feel obligated to give a word. Okay? If you're a pastor of a church and you know that person has got a lot of money, and you want to buy an airplane or what for the church, and now you prophesy like you don't prophesy he must give money, but you want to please the person. You want to get him on your side. Now you might say things that's not of God. Okay, so be very careful if you want to please somebody. It is in a sense, you never speak anything that God hasn't given you. But if you have an honest desire to bless somebody, go for it. Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine.
About that asking the Lord for a word, you need to be careful. Because if your motivation is wrong, it can lead you into trouble. And so that has happened to me. Before I went into the ministry, I once, don't know if you guys know Kobus Visagie. He was a Springbok prop. Kobus Visagie, Springbok prop. Okay, he was in our church. I wasn't in the ministry at that time, but I was involved with the guys, and I read his file. I want to bless him, but I wanted to build a relationship with that guy. And so the Lord... No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. I wanted to please him. And it's one of those weird moments. I really felt I heard from God. It's like I said, Lord, give me a word for him. But I know my heart wasn't right. So I got a word. It's weird. Let's listen to this. I'm humbling myself here today. He wasn't in the Springbok team at that time. And it was a week and a half before the test against the All Blacks on Newlands. And he wasn't in the team. There were other guys in there. And then it was, I think it was, say, the Wednesday and the Thursday, they would determine the team. So on the Wednesday, I was praying for him, and I felt God telling me. I mean, he told us, he was in the cell group with us, he's not in the team, they've already chosen other guys, etc. And I felt God telling me, no, a whole prophecy about what God's going to do through his life, etc. And then I felt God saying, he will be chosen for the team. And the Lord said, well, all these other things, and I felt the Lord saying that it will be proved that they will also win the game on that day. Yes. But in Booker. But so, obviously, he's not in the team. So we will know if he gets into the team. I mean, that will, in a sense, prove the prophecy. And then the final one will be, will they win the game? So that was the Wednesday. I went to his house, gave him the word. And the next day, he was chosen for the team. So it's one of the weirdest experiences of my life. So now we're waiting for the game. And he gave me tickets for me and a friend. Op die middellyn hoor. Daar so op die veld. I mean, I'm best seats in the house. I'm now there to pray and to support. He told the coach and the team that God says... Yes, sir. And then the coach screwed up. They chose Percy Montgomery on fly half and not Bram van Straten. So Percy kicked everything skew and we lost. What a shocker. And again, there was like was idle in my heart. You know, I wanted to please somebody. And part of it was correct. But we lost. So I'm blaming the coach. But that wasn't of the Lord. I was struggling through that and said, Lord, no, you try to please the guy. You see, in the fear of the Lord, there is safety. But when you try to please somebody, you get that partial words. Ay, ek humble myself vandag, genade.
We learned a lot, eh? I mean, Andrew and I learned a lot about prophecy throughout the years, because this is also why often God will put two people together in a marriage relationship, where Andrew is definitely more like inclined to, like, you know, just jump off the cliff. Okay, let's just wait one day, then we jump. So do not try to please the person. If you want to give somebody a word with all of your heart, but there's nothing in you that wants to gain from the situation. And you just need to test your heart, because it's sometimes a very subtle thing. Like the word you wanted to give to Kobus. I mean, somewhere there was something in his heart that wasn't right. And I mean, sometimes we need to like bump our heads a few times to learn. But this is why we share it with you today, that preferably you don't have to learn through so many different things. Only say what God tells you to say. So as I say, don't go to somebody, or if somebody comes back to you and say, what did you mean? You say, sorry, I have nothing more to say. Okay. You say what God tells you to say. And also, if you receive a word, don't make an assumption. Say, for example, you receive a picture. I'm going to come to that now, just the different ways in which God can speak. Say, for example, you receive a picture of a flower. Now you make an assumption, the picture is from God, but you interpret it in a certain way and you miss it. Just because you kind of jumped into the interpretation. He didn't say, okay, God, thank you for this picture. What does it mean? This is all we need to do. But we say, no, no, obviously this is what it means. I mean, Pastor Fred tells a story a few... Do you want to share that? Andre should have done this session. Pastor Fred shared a couple of months ago that God gave him a word. And he, in this year still, I think, we immediately thought, this is what God says. A month later, God gave him the same word. And he thought, okay, maybe he missed it, but this is what God says. And a month later, again, the same word. And he said, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? So we just need to be open, because sometimes the picture or the vision or the word or the dream is from God, but then we jump to conclusions. So we just need to say, God, show me. Okay, so it's, everything is very safe as long as we are willing to check it with the Lord. It's really safe. It's as soon as we become so important and so anointed that we don't want to listen to anybody else, this is the only, you know, time when it becomes really dangerous.
Just an example for the picture seeing. Now, this luckily is not one of my mess-ups. But the guy was praying for somebody, and he says he saw in his mind's eye like notes, musical notes. And then he interpreted meaning that God has called you to be a musician and to do worship music for him or whatever. But he interpreted, but he definitely saw this note thing. And this guy was like, but I sing false. I'm useless. I can't do this. But he's a very gifted behind-the-scenes sound engineer type of guy. And actually, the word was speaking about him starting a shop for, you know, selling sound or musical instruments and things like that. But he was speaking about behind the scenes. But the guy made the mistake to assume what this symbol was, this image that he saw. He assumes this is what it means, and then he put this on this guy, and that wasn't what God was saying. So you just should just say what you see and make sure that your interpretation is correct. And if you don't have an interpretation, just say, well, this is what I'm seeing, and I don't know what it means.
When somebody prophesies over you, actually, it's a very good safety check. Say to them, what do you see? Because this thing of misinterpreting is big.
I agree. Guys, we need to watch that. Don't assume that what you're seeing means this. Okay, this is very important. Our interpretation must also be taken to the Lord and say, God, what do you mean with this? What do you mean with this picture? And I guess we are a little bit easy to assume what our pictures mean. Okay, so just that's just something to check.
Okay, I'm almost finished. Are you still okay? Okay. Then as I said, you can't prophesy against the word of God. Just keep that in mind. And that is why the times when I prophesied, or I've, in a sense, used this gift the most, was when I was spending time in the Word of God on a regular basis. It was as if the Word was alive and powerful in my heart and I could speak it. Okay, so it's not only praying in the Spirit and being highly spiritual. It's what Andre said earlier this morning. We need the Word of God. So we can never say anything against the Word of God. So we need to be in the Word. Okay, accountability. This is where I wanted to tell this whole Cape Town mission story, but Andre did it very, Andre did a good job of that. So I just want to add something to that. When we moved to East London, three angels did not appear to me saying, I didn't even receive a word of or anything from a person that you must move to East London. Nothing like that. It just, in Andre's heart, there was a witness, because they needed somebody here, and there was a witness in his heart. And I said to God, okay, you must show me. And I'm not going to go into all the detail now of how God gave me peace, but Andre said to me, Sonika, if you don't have peace, we're not going. And I want you to listen carefully to this, because that opened the door for God to give me peace. Okay, otherwise, if he just said to me, Sonika, God has spoken, we're going to East London when you are 35 weeks pregnant, and we're selling our house, and you must look for a job there, and that's it. God has spoken. it would have put me under so much pressure. I would have felt as if he doesn't care about me at all. But the fact that he said, this is what I feel God is saying. You pray about it, and if you don't have peace, we're not going. That in a sense, helped me to come to a point where I said, I'm in. I'm there. I want to go. Okay, so just in a relationship context, for those of you who are married, and for those of, just make a mental note, with a woman or the man, or especially for the man, because normally it's the men who wants to move, and, you know, then the woman gets blamed that she's holding him back, and, you know, she's not, you know, focused on the kingdom of God. And if there's not peace, then the man should, if that word is of God, you must put your trust in the Lord that he will speak to your wife and that he will give her peace as well. That is where your trust in the Lord come in. Okay. So for those of you who have big visions and dreams, your trust must be in God to speak to the woman in your life. Okay, very important. Then confirmation from trustworthy people or sources, not just anybody. Confirmation, you can have 10 confirmations, but is it from a trustworthy source or somebody that, a trustworthy person? And that is, unfortunately, where leadership plays a role, your self-facilitator, the people who's not necessarily your best friend or your best buddy, because they just love you. You know, like girls, they just say, that guy is so great, and praise God, and hallelujah. But he's not, you know, they're just so excited for you. But he's not your husband. But your best friend is just so excited for you. Yeah. Then you need somebody else's objective. So your best friend, yes, but not only your best friend, to bring a confirmation. Okay. And when you prophesy, don't say, be careful to say the Lord says, or that we just always say, we feel this is what God says. Okay, we feel this is what the Lord says. And then test every word. You know, if you're going to prophesy to a girl and she's engaged, and you come with this word about the baby in your womb that's going to do mighty things for the Lord, and she's engaged, and she's not pregnant, and it's in front of many people, it's really very embarrassing for that poor girl. Okay? But there's another story about that, you know, that happened. So, test. If I give a word to Leanne and I say, this is what I feel, do you in any way feel a witness in your heart and in your spirit? So it's not the accuracy, okay? Some things can be very accurate, but it could not be of God. So it's in the end the peace and the witness in your heart that makes the difference. So, just quickly to end off, I'm going to finish now. How do you learn? How do you learn? Because maybe all of you are now very much afraid to prophesy. This is not the purpose of this session, okay? The only purpose of this session really is that we should walk in the fear of God. We should walk in a safe place, because people can get hurt and we can miss it altogether and need to, after 5 years, return back to God, and we've missed 5 years. If we receive something from God and we miss it, how do we learn? We must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, coming back to my sermon of Sunday evening, we must pray in tongues. We need to tune in to God's voice, and we need to spend time in the Word of God. Basics again, eh? Basics. But not only reading the Word, we need to meditate, and we need to memorize Scripture. That is definitely the time in my life when I meditated and memorized Scripture, that it was as if there was this flow of words, of encouragement for people. It's always a step in faith, always. You're never going to come to a point where you just do it without having to take a little bit of a step in faith. Okay, so it's never just going to be like breathing, and you don't even think about it. It's always, you need to step out and say, God, I trust you that this word is from you. So there's a little bit of a risk always. But when you walk in that fear of God, it's a safe place. Okay, so we want to encourage you all to to desire prophecy, not to be afraid of it. And then we need to start by doing it. Not only in church, but, you know, what I've often done in the past is I would just pray for somebody at home, all alone in my room, having a pen and paper, and say, God, if you want to give me something for this person, then I'm going to write it down. It happened a lot of times with me, and it was... Yes. I must say, that is how God used me most in the past, where you just prophesy scripture over somebody. You literally, God gives you a scripture, and that is what you give to the person. In the Word of God. Okay, that's safe. This is how we all should start by doing it. And so sometimes He'll give you a scripture that you know, that you've memorized. Sometimes He'll give you a scripture reference. And then you can go to it, and then that is, you didn't necessarily know what it was. Sometimes God can give you a picture, but we've spoken about that. Sometimes God can give you a word of knowledge. It's very much linked to prophecy. And a word of knowledge, I'm telling you, can also change someone's life. I just want to give you one more example, and then I'm going to stop. But before I do that, I just want to say it's even though everything I say today, it's really fine to make a mistake if you are sincere and if you are really seeking the Lord. I've missed it. Andre's missed it. It's, as I say, as soon as you think you know it all and you hear God's voice and you are His, the apple of His eye, and He speaks to you, you know, like that Aaron, Miriam story where they say to Moses, who do you think you are? God speaks to us as well. And you can read it in it's a very interesting story. But in any case, it's fine to make mistakes. Okay, it's fine if you are sincere and you're really seeking the Lord. We need to step out in faith. Okay, and God will cover our mistakes if we walk in the fear of God. And those mistakes won't be big mistakes in any case. All right, I just want to tell you this one last story, then I'm going to end off. God gave me this one word one evening at a show of a church. Andrea was preaching, and afterwards God gave me a word for a girl. A kind of an interesting word. Said, there's a girl here, and you just love butterflies. You love butterflies. And God said to me, but you've lost your virginity, and God just wants to heal you in that area. And I thought, oh, God, I hope this is of you. And afterwards, one of the girls came to me. When she opened the diary, just all the butterfly pictures fell out. So that was the one part that was of God. But then she shared a story with me when she was in one of the hostels, that, you know, before she came to God, she had a very, you know, rough lifestyle. And the one morning she woke up in one of the male residences, and, well, obviously something happened, you know, all the evidence was there that something happened, but she could not remember because she was totally drunk. She literally can't remember anything that happened. So in her opinion, she did not necessarily lost her virginity because she could not remember anything. But it was as if God brought, you know, like a spotlight on that situation again, and where God just said, something happened that night and I want to bring healing. And she said to me, Sonika, now it all makes sense, because she said, I couldn't understand the way I relate to guys. I couldn't understand the way, there were so many things in me that I couldn't figure out. And, you know, we prayed together again during the week, and God just did an amazing thing in her. It's something she would have never known. And that is the power. And I think many of you have examples, but that was just one very powerful example in my life where I had something and I had to take a big step in faith with this word. And I could have missed it. I could have missed it, and if I've missed it, then I go on with life and I trust God again. But that specific time was definitely a word from God, and it set her free. It brought so much healing in her life. So I want to encourage you not to be afraid, really not to be afraid, but to take this thing into your workplace, to say, God, help me to tune in, help awaken my ear. Like a song we sang last night, I just love, You know, that song, this is what I believe God must do this weekend. He must just awaken something in us. Awaken our spirits, awaken our ears, awaken our spiritual senses. Did you have that word last night about the senses? Yeah. Awaken our spiritual senses that we can tune in to what God wants us to do. Because we just live in this body, eh? We are spirit. We are spirit. And things of the spirit are weird, but we are spirits. We have to acknowledge that. We're not a body. We just live in this thing. We are spirit. Amen. I'm going to give over to my husband.
We went on quite a bit longer than what was planned. So we wanted to put some time out now, but I don't think we're going to do that. Tonight then we're going to set out some time and we can do practical, and tomorrow morning, later afternoon or second part of tomorrow morning, we'll also put up some time, some practical time, where you can actually just practice to listen to the voice of God and just ask Him if He wants to share things with us, show us something. So tonight specifically, we're going to do that. Okay, let's just stand. I just want to pray for us. Then we're going to have lunch. Yeah. Okay, so I want to remind you of what the scripture says. Pursue love, desire the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. It is a challenge, but because the devil doesn't want us to operate in this effectively. So that's why there's often these confusions. If your heart is humble and teachable before God, it's going to be 100%. It's hankwak. That's just the key. Just humility before God, a teachableness, and it's going to happen. So if you can just maybe just open your hands before the Lord, I just want us to pray a prayer of just saying, God, we desire the gifts, Lord. We desire the gifts. We desire what you want to give to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit as well. We need both. And Lord, right now we ask for the gifts of the Spirit. We ask for the fruit of the Spirit. We desire the gifts, Lord. And we pursue the love of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your love to be at the center of our hearts, our motivation to serve and to love somebody. And so, Lord, we ask Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, that you would impart to us the gifts of the Spirit, that we might be effective in ministry, in service. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment. Just ask in your own words, just under your breath, just speak to God and say, Lord, please give me the gifts so I can be a blessing. Just ask the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can come humbly before you today. And to say, God, we are your instruments to be a blessing, an instrument to serve, an instrument to speak your words, an instrument to impart grace, an instrument to the glory of Christ. So God, we receive by your Spirit, Lord, visions, dreams, prophecies. We receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We receive the love of Christ. We receive the goodness of God. We receive that we may bring a word in season to those who are weary, a word of knowledge to those who do not know you, a word of life to those who need encouragement. God, we receive it. In Jesus' name, we receive it, God. And we pray for tonight, Lord. We pray, God, that we would Yeah, God, that you come, operate in us and through us, Lord. We want to see Christ Jesus glorified. It's not about us. It's not about our ministry. It's not about our name. It is all about Jesus Christ and his glory. That is what we want to see. You glorified. And so, God, we commit lunch into your hands. Lord, we say, bless the food to our bodies. Bless our fellowship. Bless our social and fun this afternoon. Thank you, God, that there is joy in you. Thank you we can enjoy life, enjoy Christ and one another. And God, we thank you for your blessing on the rest of this day in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Thank you for your time. Thanks for listening.